kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, as usual, I have a title for us to consider, and we're calling our teaching today Accepting the Role. Accepting the Role. And I'd like to take this from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and looking at verses 27 and 28. We're calling Accepting the Role. John 12, 27 and 28. And here in the context, it's speaking about where Jesus predicts his death and his going to the cross. So Jesus already knew what was going to happen to him. He was getting a foreknowledge. He was being prepared by the Spirit, in which God, his Father, was going to accomplish the work of reconciliation through him. And we take it up in verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. So God spoke from heaven precisely what he's shortly to do. And I'm calling it today Accepting the Role. Accepting the Role. It's quite an achievement to know that you are coming to the completion of why you are called of God. And I do believe that we, like Christ, he knew he was coming to the completion of his walk, his role, and he shortly to fulfill the Father's will. And I believe that one of the things the Holy Spirit will minister to the overcomers, that they are coming to their completion, that they know the time is short. They know that they're being hid in the woman's womb. The completion has come. The man-child is soon to be born and to be presented to groaning creation. I believe that will be one of the significant signs of the Holy Spirit, and that's why we're baptized in the Spirit. It will be revelation to us. It will be quickened to us. The same as Jesus is knowing here, and his soul is troubled in his flesh, that is because he knows he's coming shortly of where he is to go to the cross. So we can take principles, parallels from this. He, of course, is predicting his death here and the cross. Well, as overcomers, it's not too different for us. And that's why God will preserve and he will protect us. You remember I spoke about preservation on Sunday. He's going to preserve a remnant. He's preserving the man-child. And I believe that the man-child company will have revelation. God is communicating and will communicate both individually and corporately in these last days. But you have to remain faithful, in which God can accomplish. You have to remain faithful to accomplish what he has created and made us for. This is why we're to remain faithful as overcomers. The overcomers, the man-child, is to remain faithful because that is what God has created us for. It's what he has made us for. It's the revelation that he's given to us to accomplish what he wants to do in and through us. The same as Jesus's ministry, God preserved him because God had created him to accomplish and fulfill what he must do at Calvary. And each of us are created and made through the new birth of which God has and will accomplish what he wants to do in and through us. In spite of all the trials and the testings that we go through, which are many, God has purposed and decreed what he is going to do through each of us. And this will only be accomplished if we remain faithful to the end. And we know that the great next event for the Christian church is the rapture, the snatching away. And God has ordained from the foundation of the world a remnant who should experience this, who have been called, who have been trained in which to fulfill this role. And the problem is that we have some Christians who don't like the training. They fight against it. But we have to remember Jesus was being trained, as I read here in John 12. He's being trained for the very purpose to accomplish and fulfill God's role at Calvary, in which to redeem and reconcile a remnant. This is why I always say that everything God does through us, and he did through Jesus Christ in nature, is reconciliation. It is reconciling. And much of our ministry is about reconciliation. We've just read it to you, and I'll read it again in verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. He knew what his role was. And you, brothers and sisters, should know what your role is. It comes by revelation. And you know the Spirit's preparation in what he's doing in your life. That's why I rest in this. But I'm not sure all of us are still sure about this. And we fight against it. The Lord doesn't fight against any of this. He goes like a lamb to the cross, a lamb to the slaughter. He doesn't try and fight it or come against it. He knows his Father's will, and we should know as overcomers, first fruits, our Father's will. Even though we go through trial and tribulation. And that's why God will preserve and protect us so that we can remain faithful and accomplish what he has called and made and created us for. Remember that. The man-child is the clay being formed and shaped and created by the potter's hands. It's interesting here in verse 27 what we read. He was not saved from the hour, but out of the hour. And that is what God does with us. He'll save us and preserve us through the trials and the testings. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And that's why we're told to count it all joy when we go through much trial and tribulation. That is the side of what it's going to produce. And that's why our Lord, we're told, was a man acquainted with grief, acquainted with sorrows. Now, it's interesting that Isaiah speaks of this, as we know, in the great chapter of Isaiah 53. Let's just remind ourselves again of what it says here in Isaiah 53 and verse 3. 53 and verse 3. Let's get to it. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. So our Lord was acquainted with trials and tribulations, and he was acquainted with grief. This word grief can also mean painful. It's painful. And we see descriptions of where this comes out. The same word is used with the children of Israel that were held in bondage, in slavery, by the Egyptians. And the same word is there in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows or their pains. I see it. There again is the same word that is used. Did you know something? To go deeper with God, it is painful. And that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. We're talking today about accepting the role that God is creating and building and working through each of us. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. There's the same word, or pain. Now, a lot of this, which is experienced if you go deeper with the Lord, it's painful to see what sin has done and is doing, what sin, rebellion, is doing in the world. It's painful to see how people can destroy lives, persecute. The same that God was seeing with the children of Israel, who were going through a lot of trial and everything. Isaiah speaks of it, of our Lord that went through sorrow and pain. And it's the same with us. Life's experiences can be painful. And much of it makes us what we are. The sorrow and the pain is making you and I, brothers and sisters. And this is why, although it is painful and much sorrow, we can count it all joy, because it is God using that to create in me his purpose, what I've been called for, what he wants of me, what I'm destined for, and so forth, as the Lord was doing the same in his Son, Jesus Christ. But this is where we have to trust and believe that God will bring us through. And this is where our faith comes in, that whatever trials and tribulations I go through, God will bring me through. Even though this is painful, this is creating and working sorrow, But remember that that is making you a better Christian. We have to accept and receive ourselves in the fires. Because it's in the fires where God meets us. It's in the fires where we get this deliverance. And so on. And we're not to forget this. Let's look at another area of this word sorrows or pain. If we try and evade sorrow or pain, refusing to deal with it, we are foolish. It's one of the biggest facts of life. Even the world goes through sorrow and pain. And even to a certain extent, we can see where people in the world have become a better person because they went through that trial. It was painful or whatever. You hear that. Psychologists and psychiatrists see that as well. So how much more for the Christian who is in Jesus Christ, where we go through these trials and God goes through them with us. So we have the revelation that we're not left on our own when we go through trial and tribulation. You see, sin, sorrow and sufferings are because of a fallen world that we live in. And it's not up to us to say God has made a mistake. And our actions prove it. Now, we don't say always, well, God has made a mistake, but our actions in our trials prove, or we think that he's made a mistake. Instead of allowing the Spirit to take us through, like a lamb going to the slaughter, stop fighting your trials. They are tailor-made, and God will bring you through them, even though God is working that sorrow, that pain, because he's making you and I a better person. That's why. Sorrow removes a lot of spiritual shallowness. There's so many Christians, they're spiritually shallow. But it doesn't always prove that they're a saint. Because at the end of the day, whatever your trials, whatever you're going through, you still have to deal with the self-life. And the self-life is connected with the cross that we too are to take up daily and follow the Lord. But can you see the bigger picture? What God is working and doing through this? And this is why, as an overcomer, the Man-Child Company have to accept the role. And I'm not sure all yet have settled that one. And we wouldn't be so unsettled. We wouldn't be questioning all the time. Because we know that our Father is in complete control. He knows what he's doing with me. I don't have to strive at this. Jesus didn't have to strive at going to the cross. They did it. They did it all. And that is exactly the same with us. The spirit of this age will do it, but God will preserve, as he's preserving a remnant to himself. But you know, it's easier to complain, isn't it? And do you know what complaining does? And when we resist these trials, it always makes us run to the arm of the flesh. And we'll look to man instead of God. And that's why we're not getting the victories, some of us. And this is why we still run to the arm of the flesh, because in the trials, we're still complaining. We still have a problem with God, and we're not seeing the bigger picture of what my trials, my sorrows are that I'm going through. What it's trying to accomplish and work in me. The sorrows and pains that Jesus was going through was preparing him for the cross, to reconcile man back to God. And so it's the same with us. Our trials, our sorrows are always to work a bigger picture. There's something God is going to do through it. You can't see it yet, but he's going to accomplish something. But if we gripe and moan and we'll find that we'll always go back relying on the arm of the flesh. The only way you find yourself and God's will is in the fires of sorrow. Let me give that to you again. The only way you find yourself and God's will is in the fires of sorrow. Do you want to know the will of God? It's the fires of sorrow. It's painful. But God says, my grace is sufficient, and I won't let you be burnt up. I am there with you in the fires. You know those who go through the fires of sorrow because they are reliable, and they will continue to minister and counsel, and they are Christians who have time for you. They're the ones that go through the trials, the sorrow, the pain. But look what God is accomplishing and working through them. They are reliable. They give time for their brothers and sisters. They fellowship. They will minister. They will go that extra mile. They are sensitive to other people's needs. And this is the problem, because a lot of Christians are so selfish and so inward looking. This is why there's so much oddities and strangeness about a lot of Christians. Antisocial. They don't know how to fellowship properly. And these are a lot of the problems. Because they are trying to evade the trials, the sorrow, the pain. No, I'm not going through that again. That was far too painful. I can't do that anymore. I've heard it said. Did our Lord do this? Not at all. He saw the purpose of the hour. He saw what his Father was bringing him towards, the cross. Yes, in his flesh, he didn't like it. He hated it, but he knew it was the will of his Father. And brothers and sisters, you need to know the will of your Father and stop fighting his will. And if it's sorrowful, if it's painful, whatever, then that's removing that shallowness, that selfishness from you. That's what it's doing. Because those who avoid, they become contemptuous. They have little time for you. They don't really want to fellowship. They're not interested, they're dismissive, because they're so caught up in themselves and have problems with God. That's what God delivers us from. It's interesting, but some saint said this: if you will receive yourselves in the fires of sorrow, God will make you nourishment for other people. If you will receive yourself in the fires of sorrow, God will make you nourishment for other people. And you will find yourself ministering, and you will find it fruitful, and you will find that they will hear because they see something about you. Fires, as we know, purifies. And it removes those hindrances, doesn't it, to our personality, our character, and our faith. It makes you a better person. And that's why God is purifying his royal priesthood, which we are, or supposed to be. The man-child company are being purified. It's part of the development, ready for birth. And we have seen over the years how many have rejected it. They don't want that role. They reject the Holy Spirit developing, working, equipping, creating us for this. No, it's not done overnight. It takes many, many years. But you stay with it, you will see what God will accomplish. Because the rapture is the next great event for the Christian church. And sadly, not all are going to go up in the rapture because they resist the fires of sorrow, which is to perfect, to work them, to burn out all the dross and so on. It's easier to just rely or run away or go to the arm of the flesh. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look what he says here, exactly what I have been saying in this teaching. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He has chosen you for such an hour to work his will in your life and my life. We know that God has to call us and choose us, which he has done before the foundation of the world, in which he was doing exactly the same through his Son, to fulfill his ministry, his role. But like all things, God's got to purify. He's got to remove the hindrances that try to stop all of this. We know from Christ's priestly prayer, where he prayed, you know, his prayer in John 17. He was praying for God's will to be created in us, that they may be one as we are one. These are prayers, but there's prayers also of sorrow, because they go hand in hand. What does it say in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6? I'm showing you your role as an overcomer. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And he has made us kings, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So he's creating and working within us to be a royal people, a royal priesthood. He's raising kings. What do kings do? They rule. They have rulership. Kings have authority. And in our case as a royal priesthood, we have authority over the powers of darkness. Our priesthood, our kingship is not for this world. It's in heavenly places. And this is why some of us still have problems, and you don't understand this because you're still earthly minded. You're still looking to the world. Your kingship, your royal priesthood ministry is not for this world. It's in the heavenly places. That is where your authority is. That is where your rulership is now for this moment, until Christ comes for us. We have sovereign authority in spiritual matters. And that's what we should be about. Not the things of this world, trying to make it a better world or getting involved in politics or whatever it would be. That's not what we're destined for. We are destined at the moment, our role is for spiritual matters. That's the authority that God has given to us as a royal priesthood. And trials accompany it. Sorrows accompany it. So that you begin to understand where your authority is, where your role is. It is not on the earth. It is in the heavens. It is spiritual. And anything that God accomplishes through you or me, even this word that I am delivering tonight to you, had to first start in the heavens. And the prayer and intercession births it through. This is what the role of a royal priesthood is. That's why we're about a prayer and intercession. This is why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." I can assure you that a lot of Jesus's praying was praying to receive that role that God had for him, that he was to go to the cross. That was a lot of his praying, birthing it through so that he could overcome it, what? In the flesh. He could overcome it. Overcome unbelief that would try and stop us. The only way we can overcome unbelief is to birth it through. You won't overcome otherwise. Unbelief is too strong. And this is why we must be about spiritual matters. Your authority is first and foremost spiritual, and it is in the heavens. With Christ Jesus. And the problem is, we're still too earthly. We're still too caught up in the world and its anxieties and its fears and its lies and its deceptions. But God is working with us. He still is delivering us. And how does he do it? He does it through the fires of purification. That is where it's removed. And much of those sorrows is acquainted with grief and sorrows. The same as our Lord, he went through grief and sorrow. And you too are going to go through grief and sorrow, and you have to accept the role. You have to decide that. I can't do that for you. I can simply present it in the word. But if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind and being, then you accept that role. And his grace is sufficient. And it is and it will be. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be through every trial and test that we go through. And it will hurt sometimes. It will be sorrowful. You will be acquainted with grief, just like our Lord was. As you see the world falling further and further away into absolute sin and rebellion, because it's completely contrary to what God is working and creating in you and I. And it hurts to see this. It can cause a lot of sorrow when you think they don't have to go through this. If they turn to Christ, if they would only turn to the Lord, but they will not to. Our Lord felt that. Our Lord felt the pain. He saw much suffering. I mean, he didn't heal everyone. He would have liked to. But he knew he had to do the Father's will. He was always doing that which was revealed. But brothers and sisters, we have to accept this role as an overcomer, as a first fruits, the man-child company. And we've got to stop fighting against this and allow the Spirit to work through us. He is creating something wonderful in each of us. He's creating the image of his Son in us. And we mustn't hinder this. But in order to do this, there will be times of sorrow and grief. But he's getting you to go deep. He's not going to have you shallow, griping and moaning and talking and acting like the world. He's not going to do that. He's not going to give up. All the while we keep listening, all the while we keep coming, God isn't going to give us any rest in that until we yield over to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Mighty God. So there we are. Sorrow, pain. Foolish to the world, but it's what we thrive and grow on. And that's why, as I end, it's like when you trim trees or you trim a fruit tree, or whatever it is, when you cut it back, it just stimulates it to grow even more. And that's what God does with us. It may seem painful. He's cutting back. He's getting rid of all the rotten, dead stuff. But you watch, something new and great will grow in its place. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again for speaking to us. Thank you for encouraging us. Lord, may each of us accept this role and not question or fight or come against you, but just allow your Spirit to work in and through us, that we are your creation. We are the clay upon the potter's wheel, and he's molding and perfecting us. Lord, forgive us when we want to do it our way and go independently of you, and we make such a mess of it. But Lord, we thank you that you are working in us both to will do for your good pleasure. Help us to go deeper, Father, with you, even if it is painful and sorrowful. Lord, we want to go as deep as the Holy Spirit takes us. We want to go as far as the Spirit works within us. We want all the limits taken off, that you may accomplish in us as you did through your Son in these last days of bringing home the overcomers, because everything you're doing is redemptive, and this world is to be set free from its bondage, this groaning creation. And thank you, Father, for our fellowship. Bless my brothers and sisters. Lord, may this word be worked in their lives. May they bear the fruit of this. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow.